not directly about climate change, but it does have a climate change angle. Almost everything does, to me anyway. Carol Misseldine is a friend of mine from Marin County, from environmental circles, from the activist community, and she is a widow of an environmental champion, Charles McGlashan, who we lost several years ago. Carol is joining us now to talk about a couple of really important issues. One is meatless diets and how that can have a positive influence on our health and our environment. We've talked about that before, but she's increasingly become a louder voice in this effort to raise awareness about the connections. And she's also the director of Green Cities California and a recent graduate of the Humane Society University. Hey, Carol, welcome to the program.
Hi, Betsy. It's good to be here.
Great to have you on, finally. I've watched your, you know, focus go from green cities to vegetarianism, and you're equally devoted to both issues, and it's probably all connected. And there's a climate change
angle. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Get that out of the way. Yes, yeah, thank you. Carol, what made you decide to really focus recently, in recent years, on the impact of growing cattle and meat in our diets on the planet?
Right. Well, because the single greatest negative environmental impact we have on the planet, bar none, is the food choices we make daily. It's not the car we drive or the energy we burn, but our food choices, because those choices directly impact our contribution to greenhouse gas emissions. So I would suggest that, in fact, this is directly and completely related to climate change. According to a number of different studies by the United Nations, by the World Watch Institute, the range of contribution to greenhouse gas emissions globally from livestock ranges from 18% to 50%. Even at the low end of that range, livestock production is responsible for more greenhouse gas emissions worldwide than the entire transportation sector. And yet, very few people are talking about this much, and most people who call themselves climate activists regularly consume animal products every day. So it's an area that I have just thought, as an environmentalist, really needs much greater illumination.
You're absolutely right, not to mention just the humanity, the inhumanity of the way these animals are being slaughtered.
Absolutely. I mean, there are three primary reasons to adopt a vegan or a vegetarian diet. One is the climate change impacts, as we've just discussed. The second is to reduce your contribution to the egregious cruelty and suffering that farm animals endure because of those choices. And the third is for your health. It's really a really good decision to make to improve your health is to reduce your consumption of animal products.
I couldn't agree more. And why do you think this has been overlooked? Al Gore got a lot of flack for, you know, his not talking about it and him acknowledging that he does eat meat. He's saying he eats less now. Looks like he should be eating less, period, but that didn't sound very nice. Maybe he can be like, you know, Bill Clinton, who went on a vegan diet. Look how healthy he looks now.
Right, and there are a lot of celebrities actually are adopting a vegan diet. It's becoming quite chic now, especially in the Los Angeles area, where there's a lot of new vegan restaurants available. You know, I asked a number of environmental leaders when I was just getting into this, why aren't you talking about livestock and food choices and the need to reduce our consumption of animal products? Because, you know, environmental leaders that were talking about climate change, and one of the reasons I got is because, like the general public, membership in environmental organizations is largely comprised of people who consume animal products, meat, dairy, and eggs.
So, and that they didn't want to alienate their clientele.
Yeah,
so to speak.
They didn't want to offend their members because they wanted their members to continue to send in dues. My response to which was, you know, we need leaders. We need people to stand up and say the truth, not in any kind of judgmental way, but to really elucidate the truth about our choices. We certainly make suggestions about what types of cars to drive and improving the energy efficiency of our buildings. Since food choices are bigger than both of those relative to greenhouse gas impacts, it seems clear to me that environmental leaders need to step up to the plate and start making the case very clearly. Many people don't know this, so it's we really need to get the word out.
Well, that's
so
why
I think
we
that's a big
do these
part
shows.
Of it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you ask why the word isn't out. It's because the people who should be talking about it would also have to change their diets, you know, in order to not be hypocritical. And I think that's a big barrier. And so what I've gotten really clear about is people don't know how to do it. And so I really appreciate all the new cookbooks that are coming out and the cooking classes that are being held, anything that can assist people in seeing not only how easy it is, but how delicious it is. I'm a much better cook since I became vegan and eat much more interesting food, because you reach out and you see all these foods that have been ignored that are here for the asking.
And not to mention how healthy people look who are on a vegetarian or even vegan diet. They shine.
Your skin clears
raw food diet, you know, it's so clear that health begins from the inside.
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing you notice is people's skin clears up. I mean, their skin, just the tone and the color looks so much better. Well, you know, 3/4 of healthcare spending right now in the United States is allocated to treating chronic preventable diseases like obesity and diabetes and heart disease. All of those diseases, and cancer, all of those diseases have been linked to the standard American diet, which is characterized by really high consumption of animal products and low consumption of plant-based foods. And the cultures that eat the reverse of that diet, it's called the Standard American Diet, SAD.
Or SAD.
SAD, yeah, it is SAD. The cultures that eat the reverse of SAD have a much lower incidence of all those diseases, obesity, cancer, and heart disease, which is why now major and very conservative health organizations are now trumpeting the health benefits of vegetarian and vegan diets. And we're talking about the American Dietetic Association, the American Heart Association, the American Cancer Society. So there are really profound health reasons to move in this direction.
Plant-based diets, I mean, it's a win-win-win. We just have to get word out to more Americans. And, you know, if it takes creating some cognitive dissonance among the public, you know, and starting with environmentalists, people who call themselves environmentalists, including myself, then so be it, you know. But what we hate is to see it continue in ignorance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or selective ignorance. Well, let's talk a little bit about your other hat as director of Green Cities California. What's happening there?
Well, a lot of things. We have a number of priorities that we've been working on. One of our best wins was the number of single-use bag ordinances that are sweeping the state right now. Back in 2010, we collaborated together. Our mission is to collaborate. All these cities collaborate together to accelerate the adoption of sustainability practices. And the way we did that for bags is that every time we one of my jurisdictions or any jurisdiction in the state would adopt a bag ordinance, they would get sued by the Save the Plastic Bag Coalition or the American
Chemistry
Council.
The endangered plastic bag.
Exactly.
About that.
Yeah. So, and they said that we needed to do an environmental review. A lot of us questioned whether that was necessary since it has an environmental benefit and therefore is exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act requirements. And in fact, just last week, the appeals court upheld that decision in a lawsuit challenging Marin County's bag ban, saying, no, they are exempt from CEQA review, which is fantastic. But that's, you know, years under a lot of water under the bridge, and we have been doing the environmental impact reviews to get around the lawsuits. And what we did is we pooled our money and did one study that every single jurisdiction has been able to use now to create their environmental impact review. And that's why in 2010 we only had one jurisdiction that had a bag ordinance, and today we have over 70 and many dozens more in different phases of developing those bag bans. So we're really proud of that. We've shifted our focus recently to looking at sustainable food choices. So we've got some work underway on that, really promoting Meatless Mondays, because we really get that people do this shift in stages and slowly, and we're really supportive of that. And then the other thing we're looking at is climate adaptation, because unfortunately we must adapt to the havoc we are causing due to climate change. And so we are working to bring leaders in climate adaptation from around the state together to share lessons learned and to leverage each other's ideas so that we can move that forward.
That's a very impressive and important title that you have, position that you have as Director of Green Cities, you know, the Golden State, because let's face it, California does see a lot of trends begin here, you know, ecologically
Absolutely.
Responsible trends that we can only hope will spread across the rest of the country.
Well, and, you know, when it comes to the bag ordinances, California definitely has been the leader in getting bag ordinances, but now it's moving across the country, and we have one in different places, in the East Coast, in New York, and numbers of other states are looking to California and adopting their own bag ordinances. And, yeah, it's always good to be part of the trend setting.
Mm. I interviewed a wonderful older woman from town in the East Coast. I can't remember the name of it now. You may be aware of her efforts to ban plastic bottles, and she succeeded in that effort. She's like an 85-year-old grandma. What are the prospects for seeing that happen here?
You know, I haven't seen a lot of activity on that, but when we were doing bags, I kept saying, once we've got this bag thing under control, we should work to ban plastic bottles. And so, you know, that's probably coming down the pike. It needs to happen. I was just, oh, my gosh, I was in the Costco parking lot the other day, and a family, they just had cases and cases and cases of single-use bottled water. And, you know, it's such a shame because Marin County has some of the highest water quality standards for tap water in the country, and we're right here. And in addition to that, it's 1,000 times cheaper than single-use bottled water. And, of course, the environmental impacts are so much less.
They're probably drinking tap water in plastic bottles anyway.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that you're absolutely right about that, and that, in fact, bottled water is regulated to a lesser extent than is municipal water. Municipal water is regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency, whereas bottled water is regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, and the Food and Drug Administration simply has weaker standards. So people are buying this product that is 1,000 times more expensive, that is of lesser quality, and it's and it's just devastating because of all the plastic that it's throwing into the environment. And yeah, that's just a tragedy. It's just awful to watch.
You know, a very quick anecdote. Someone in my family somehow bought a plastic bottle of water, and it's been in my refrigerator for a week because they must have thought they needed it, and I thought, well, someone else brought it into the house. I'll use it when I need it. I haven't needed it. It's still sitting there because there's so many other ways to get your water. Of course, now it'll become a symbol to see how long nobody needs that plastic water bottle.
Exactly. And, you know, another issue is as that water sits in that plastic, the phthalates from the plastic, which are plasticizers, you know, they leach into the water, and so you drink that. So you're drinking phthalates, which are toxic and carcinogenic. You don't want to be drinking that.
Absolutely.
So don't drink that water.
We
just
have,
use it as a symbol.
We have 2 minutes left, which is not nearly enough time, but I cannot interview you, Carol, without mentioning the man you were married to, Charles McGlashan. For so many of us, our hero, our light, our fearless leader, who left us way too soon. Just give us a few words for people who were not fortunate enough to know him about his legacy.
Charles, you know, was my prince and my hero and many people's hero, and he was the leading force behind launching the Marin Energy Authority, which has had huge impacts in reducing Marin County's greenhouse gas impact and in fostering the use of renewable power. And now other cities across the country are looking to our lead, just as he said they would. If we got it right, others would look to our lead. So he was a giant among us, and he definitely is gone too soon.
And it was a heart attack, unexpected, and there's some, you know, thought that maybe all the pressure that was on him, he took it very personally in these environmental battles, might have harmed his health, and all the more reason to respect him, revere him, remember him.
Yeah. He gave a lot. He gave too
sure
much.
Did. Well, thank you, Carol, for joining me on the program, for being married to such a great guy, and he was lucky to have had you as well. And great to have you on the program. And see you on the hiking trail soon, I hope.
Absolutely.
Okay, that does it for this edition of The Green Front. Hope you've enjoyed this very lively show. If you joined us in progress, you can catch the archives at prn.fm or on my website, thegreenfront.com. Want to wish you a happy, healthy, safe 4th of July. And remember, it's not just the red, white, and blue, but got to get the green in there as well. See you next time.